Yes, Commissaire. We in your hands. Thank you, Chair. Chair, now everybody told their stomach. I hope they had coffee that they could be wide awake. But Chair, on the one hand, it's actually enlightening to be able to ask questions to the Department of Defense. Because, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't dare to ask questions. So, having said that, Secretary, you know, we are all, especially as members of Parliament, wherever we go in the world and wherever we go in our positions, we're very proud of our Defence Force. And therefore, we also get very upset if something happens to it or someone's damaged something or whatever. But you must also make us proud in the Defence Force when it comes to the figures. And unfortunately, some of the figures that in this report is not the nicest stuff. But be that as it may, I'd just like to get some clarity on some of the figures before we go any further. If I can take you to page the Roman I don't know what it's called, I mean, it's XX and then CI. Okay? No, it's not that one. It's no. It's Roman X, so it's 18. XVIII. I don't know why we're using Roman things if we're living in this country. We should have, yeah. My question is, in terms of chronology, the time thing. The Minister of Defense, the visits, these international trips, have you got it, Secretary?
No.
Now, yeah. He was the 14th to the 18th of May, he was in the UAE. But it doesn't say what the purpose of the trip was. And all the other trips, there is the purpose of the trip. I was just wondering on that, if it's an omission or if there was something else there. And then also the chronology is wrong, eh? 2-7 should be before the 14th and the 18th of May.
The Mali and Tunisia trip.
Yeah. If I can continue, just clarity on one thing for myself is also on page 39 of your report. At table 2.2.42, the precautionary suspensions for the period 1 April 2005 to 31 March 2006 said that the number of people suspended was 12. The number of people whose suspension exceeded 30 days was 11. And then the average number of days suspended was 13,633. And then the cost of suspension, and there's three zeros in the bracket, so in the column it says 312,000. Is that 312 million or is it 312,000? Just for clarity.
Yeah, that's the clarity once again. What is that figure? It's 312,000.
So if it's 312,000, then it's 312,000. Okay. Now, do I take that the, and then can I divide the average days in there to get the day amount? Or is it the wrong figure to do?
And just to so with your permission, that we go and work on these figures, including the mission thing. And maybe within a week and really come with a proper explanation.
Secondly, last year in the minutes, you also promised to give us information in 2 weeks' time. Some of them haven't come yet. I'm worried that we really get this information, because we need to work on the figures.
Yes.
Then if I can continue, just also for clarity, on page 48, the departmental expenditure. Ne? If you look there at the first line, administration, what is that amount? 685,000 or 685 million?
Million.
Okay. Now you've got no rollover or adjustments in the next column, and then you've got a variment of 99,000. Is that 99,000 or 99 million? Okay. Now, if your total is voted, that's in the next column, am I right? The total voted is then 784 million, am I right? And then you say in the next column your actual expenditure was 784,000. Okay, so there's zeros missing from the one column and the other column of zeros are there, but you see, yeah, it makes it difficult for members, because you see, it also asks questions where, I mean, you've underspent by 0.02%, which is incredible on the one hand, but I mean, you also, when you see figures like this, you ask yourself a question, you know, isn't it 0.2%? Or isn't it 2%? We need to get some integrity in the figures. And then the next page, on page 49, at the top there, transfer payments. You say the first line, the Regional Services Council, 15,144 rand. What is it? Is that the amount or is it millions? Is it millions? Secondly, when I was doing my national service many, many years ago, we ate very nicely, and because the food and the canteens were subsidized, which is supposed to be like this. And is that still the case today?
No.
The bars and the facilities, is that also still subsidized?
It's not subsidized, but we have SASI, you know, where people, our people, SASI, these shops, army shops and so on.
So there's no exorbitant profit that's been taken on these products?
No.
I mention this because if you look at page 39 of your report, you had a 120% increase in offenses that deals with drunkenness. And I was just wondering, maybe you should increase the prices of your liquor and you might not have the same problem in the future. Or absence of leave.
Not only on our bus, Jefferson, it's public, wherever they are and so on. 77,000, Jefferson, more than 77,000. Yes, out of that is the number. Reflective also societal problems. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to take you to land and buildings in your report. And the Auditor General has noted quite some serious problems regarding buildings. Just to highlight a couple of things. It says unauthorized subleasing and rental. This is on page 265. Unauthorized subleasing and rental of state property to private businesses. Buildings could not be physically inspected due to the fact that the precise location could not be determined. The schedule of unutilized space was not submitted to the facility and environmental maintenance manager. Documentation for renovations, structural changes could not be provided. And then a serious one, which is certain buildings that are currently occupied were in a very poor condition and in certain instances even declared not suitable for human habitation. This posed a major health and safety risk. Then, secretary, in our scope of resolution last year, we made a couple of recommendations where we said that a complete an accurate facility register must be done. And then you replied, said monthly meetings are held and training is given to ensure compliance. But yet on page 183, you say that only 25% says here, the land management forum simultaneously initiated the process of confirming the accuracy of the facility register system. The work group has completed 25% of the task. You see, now the South African National Defence Force briefed the Portfolio Committee on Defence regarding land redistribution and so on and so on. So. You see, but here you say you're having monthly meetings and it actually creates the impression that it's under control. And I don't think it's under control. If you also look on page 182, the worry I have is that you say the plan fixed asset capital repair and maintenance program and cash flow object were completed during the financial year. The shortfall of funds for these programs created so and so and so. And it says that additional funds of 10 million rand were received to address maintenance backlog were used to set up and plan process to call for tenders for maintenance. You know, it's a question I have. You, on the one hand, you complain about the conditions of the buildings, and it looks as if you're passing the buck to the Department of Public Works. But on your statement of expenditure for capital assets, in 2004 and 2005, you spent 79 million, and last year you only spent 73 million. So that's a reduction of more than 6 million. I think I want to raise the issue. You know, I mean, do the defense force really have to ask public works to fix everything, or isn't there an element of the stuff that you could really do yourself? We had a situation here 2 weeks ago when the Secretary of Parliament came here, and we're sitting in a venue with 40 lights, of which 9 were fused. And we were told to phone a number. But I mean, you know, public works doesn't have people to go around to see the bulbs of money. There's certain things that one should do yourself. I'm asking these questions. If you can maybe give me a short comment on what the Department of Defense intends in doing, keeping up the buildings.
It's a challenge, this issue, and it is true that we've set up that joint task team, land affairs, public works, ourselves, basically to verify our assets, their conditions and so on, and that is ongoing work. But there are huge challenges, you know, on our part. It's not only on our part, but it's also our properties on the registry of the public works itself, that they have difficulties reconciling theirs, which some are part of ourselves. It's a challenge, ongoing, chapter. But directly in terms of the maintenance program, so I want the chief logistics to come in here. What is it that is covered by public works, and what is it that we cover, and some of the briefly challenges that you see? Chief of bringing you here without talking, fruitless expenditure.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. When it comes to the management of land and buildings, that is definitely true. That said, it's highly dependent on the interaction between the department and public works. Like the facilities are registered, that one also, the bond which was raised by the auditor true, because the two systems, the facilities register of the department and that of the public works, don't talk to each other. But we engaged the public works, and about 2 weeks ago we completed an exercise whereby we put up some procedures to ensure that there is periodical reconciliation of the two systems, whereby when we populate our system, we can also populate at the same time that of public works. When it comes to the maintenance of the system of facilities, again, that one is highly again dependent on the interaction between us and public works. But recently, we have also set up an agenda between the higher levels of the department, that is the minister and the minister, our minister, and that of public works, in raising the limit, because that what is really a constraint on our side to maintaining effectively our buildings is that there is a constraint, financial constraint. We can't do it above a certain limit, which is at this time 30,000. But other listing maintenance requirements can be done through the public works. That it is a big challenge which we have already asked the secretary and the minister to engage their public works. But for some of the issues which are major for this thing, facilities and maintenance and programs, public works has already responded to us, like in 05, 06, 07, they've raised this thing from 05 to 06, 07. They've raised our allocation from 10 million to 50 million, and in 07, 08 to 330 million. Although that is just a drop in an ocean, but it will make some significant improvement. But again, the management of the facilities maintenance program still poses a challenge, because we have to continuously interact with the public works. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned a figure of 13,000 properties, but in terms of the minutes last year, it was mentioned of made that you have about 609,000 hectares under your control, and which is about 30,000 different properties. Is the figure of 30,000 wrong, or is it 13,000, or what did I hear?
I'm not sure whether you heard, because I was mentioning figures, financial figures, not hectares.
Okay, so then it's basically you have 609,000 hectares and you've got 30,000 properties. Now, in terms of our resolution that we did last year, we asked the department to get into action with the Department of Public Works, which you've done, but also to the Department of Land Affairs. And you say here that that Land Management Forum was established on 20 April 2005 with participation of the French Public Works and Land Affairs. Now, is Land Affairs still on board in terms of this thing, especially in terms of land as the Valmont style in those places?
It's still very much on board, Chairman.
Okay, if I may continue. Chair, we had a resolution that was passed the other day in this house regarding marine and coastal management. And if you look in, on page 102 of your report, you'll see that you had an operation there. Not a medical operation there. A operation there called Neptune Soak Orca to do with the abalone poaching and so on, and it says that it was continuous with intensified operations from, and it mentioned the date, and then it says there was a one patrol vessel, operational diving team, supervisors, divers, dog handle, and so on. The total man days was 650 man days. And then on page 150, a similar issue, where you also had inshore patrol capability. It says there also regular deployment and support. Regular deployment and support of marine and coastal management, both in Western and Southern Cape, also doing with shellfish. J, In terms of man days, what is the cost per man day? Is there an average, I mean, a minimum cost? Just to quantify this issue. Not from the top of my head, however, the annual average cost for the department per head currently is in the region of 70,000 rand per member. That's including everything, employer contributions, etc. But it obviously differs from a rank level to rank level. But on average, I think we can work on a 70,000 for this type of deployment for HR cost per annum. That's only the HR cost. Per annum, 70,000. But how would you then explain these mandates? 600, is that in other words 2 years for one person?
No, I will explain that as the number of people that participate in the operation. So if there's 100 people participate in that operation, you multiply for the number of days.
Look, in terms of this, I don't want to take more time of this, but in terms of our resolution last year, we also asked the department to quantify what you are spending per year on policing or getting involved in this thing, and we still haven't received that figure. In terms of the scope of resolution, you promised to give that figure, not the resolution, in terms of the minutes, you promised to give us a figure within a couple of weeks, but I'm sure it's probably past you, but if you can please supply that for us in the future, it will help. I'd like to go to the operating leases on page 309, something which has also been raised by the Auditor General. And your operating leases have increased from 58 million last year to a 4.5 to 139 million for this year. Could you maybe explain to us how this is nearly threefold?
Hello? You want me to respond? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to operating leases, I can't right now explain sufficiently the increases in terms of finances, but I can address the issue of the management of leases. In the past, we didn't have.
I think the area of focus is on the increase. So if that is what is not had an answer for now, let's cut it there.
Okay, and then on that same page, the 23 million rand that was spent for this year on airport services, in the previous year nothing was spent, and also 24 million was spent on harbour services, in the previous year was nothing spent. Is this something that's changed, a new system that you brought in that you didn't have before?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I can potentially provide some input there. The withdrawal of Vodacliff due to the runway that has become unserviceable forced us to operate out of O.R. Tambo for the BBJ and some VIP flights migrated to Lanseria for a short period before they were also drawn into O.R. Tambo, and our planes that were used in support of joint operations operate out of O.R. Tambo as well as some lead flights of IL-76s. This would have incurred these kind of costs for airport services, which were not in the previous year. That is that one. I believe that in terms of harbour services, potentially with the now inclusion of our corvettes as they move around the coast to other open harbours, reverse space and so on, may have incurred further costs as well, which we would have carried in under the operating budget of those new systems.
And are they going to fix up Waterfield so that these planes can land there in future?
I can commit. I had a meeting yesterday with members of our log formation and DPW. The agreement was reached in October of last year that Vodacliff, having done all the formal subterranean studies, is recoverable. and that the recovery of the runway system will take effect over the next 2 years for full compliance to the runway requirements for the aircraft that we envisage to operate out of Oregon. And it is also funded.
Okay, thank you. Then you had, on page 48, you had a rental and property rights fees that decreased from 2.8 million to 139 rand. What was that? The decrease.
We'll have to go and check that and come back to the person. There are so many of these rentals, and, you know. And as we the Auditor General indicated, we're facing a challenge there, which is part of the revenue collection. But we have since last 2 months back set up a task team led by the Chief of the Army, Zero, into Tabatuan, and look into all rents and other properties which are sub rented and so on, we could have difficulties and challenges. And very soon we'll come back with, it's an area we're focusing on. But we'll go and check and verify this exactly, what is the decrease, the result of this decrease.
Then just a question on page 13, consultants, contracts and special services. There's an amount of 334 million that was spent on consultants. But it's diluted with contracts and special services. How much of this amount would only be consultants? And it is quite an increase from the previous year.
Yeah, we'll make a breakdown also there and supply it.
Yeah, we certainly would want that the next time you come, really prepared so that we're able to deal with the issues here. I noticed the sense that somehow there is a lot of haziness about administrative matters. So whilst we appreciate the responses, that will come, but they make our interaction easier if we get them now, because then they afford us to make follow-up questions or to lay the matter to rest. Yes, Comrade Pete?
Chair, just on page 43, if the Secretary can just place there. There's also a consultant appointment. There's one consultant that was appointed for 5 days working session. The total value for the 5 days is 56,000 and 10,000 a day. Is that the correct figure? And what was this person doing with 10,000 a day?
HR should be able to elaborate on this, but this is a service core strategic analysis. And our service core, I think it's known as this big facility that we have, which is supposed to train our detached people who are exiting from the system, you know, here. And we've been using consultancy.
Let's zoom into the response that the HR should be able to provide on this specific question. What consultancy work was provided that costed the department at 56,000? Yes, General Matanzi.
We'll come back on this point. I was not briefed on the exact work that was done by Service Corps. We will find the correct answers will not answer.
Yeah.
Chairperson, definitely this was to determine how optimally the service corps can provide this service. We've been having problems with the service corps in the past, Chairperson. First, in terms of its direction, whether we're migrating it in or not migrating it in, the Auditor General is tuned to this. And at one stage, we did an investigation on this, and we require that in terms of the input we make into the service corps, it's not really comparable with the output. Lots of input, but the output is very little. So we're really sitting on the service corps. I can understand Chief of HR has just taken over in terms of this new restructuring the function of the service corps, but I was involved in this. And there was a need, therefore, to really analyze and say how optimally we can utilize this service corps. And I think this was related to that. They then got these people, went to a strategic session, checked their vision, mission, capabilities, intentions of the minister, and made some recommendations.
Okay.
So that's it, and I'll come and I'll confirm it later.
Right. Okay. Yes, Kumbuti.
Chair, thank you for that. Also on page 252, Court of Accounting Officer 8.1.3, the conflict of interest. Senior managers declare their economic interests annually. Members of management bodies dealing with procurement and acquisition are required to declare potential conflicts and withdraw before commencement of meetings. All officials are required to declare gifts and registers open to scrutiny. What is the... is this a big issue in the defense? Is it a thick register or is it one or two pages?
No, it's not a big issue. Annually, in terms of the DPSSA policy, annually all of us in the SMS and those people who are directly working for procurement services must declare, you know, their interest, companies, what shares they have and so on, and
yeah.
We submit that
yeah.
regularly. If that's the question.
No. The question is that the serious challenges in the department or not in terms of in terms of interest declared? Do you have a high level of declarations or supply that is just a one pager or two pages or a big document?
No, it's not a big challenge
right.
in this. It's no. not. It's not.
No, fine.
With this, the Auditor General, a year or two ago, did a very thorough investigation on this.
Okay.
And there were a whole range of recommendations that we implemented.
All right. Yes, committee.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the issue of theft, it says on page 70, the responsibility of the GSBs are not spelled. In addition, criminality within the units has increased, which necessitated a shift in emphasis at security points. Theft of state assets and misuse of military charges are still a concern. And then it goes to page 314, which gives you the details of theft and losses. Now, the details of theft and losses for 204 and 5 on that page was 34 million for last year. Now, that's 3 times more this year. It's 100 million rand. And it cuts it down into various various divisions, whether, you know, command, control, maritime defense, air defense, or whatever. Could you maybe just give us an idea what you are doing to reduce this so that we don't have the same kind of increase next year?
Increase is also due to the fact that you are now on top of the situation and there's better reporting and detection of this. You know, now that we really have strategies and we are monitoring, we are, and in due time, really, we expect that it should be a consistent decline in terms of this.
Chairperson, the big increase there, as you can see, is 67 million. That is related to two operations, Operation Volus and Operation Maluti.
Another one?
No, it is.
314 on the theft and losses.
On the losses. It's on the losses, it's not on theft. And what she's trying to explain is Operation Polia, because we could not pay it, then we counted it as part of the loss. Those are two major figures here. Yes. But it's not on theft, it's on the losses for the department.
Okay, no, I understand that and I agree, but I just think in terms of the perception, when you do your books next year, don't combine the two, because it creates the impression that theft has increased 3 times. And the other issue that I just want to ask on this, the Operation Bolias and the one in Maluti, the two military assistance to Lesotho in 1999 and also in 2000. You say it's a debt that's been written off to 60-something million, but, I mean, my question is, when the assistance was given, was it, I mean, is it supposed to be a debt? I mean, isn't it just assistance? Because if it's just assistance, then, and not really a debt in the true sense of the word, then it really makes, it doesn't look on you, good on your books. So you should maybe look at how in future you, especially with the rest of Africa now, how are we going to do this so that your debts don't reflect something which is not true. Chair, thank you very much for that. I'm done now.
Thank you. thank you, Comrade Chair. Yeah, in terms of our program, Comrade Bono. Thank you, Comrade Chair. I just got a few questions, I suppose, not many. The first one would be our information system. Now, you know that there's a lot of problems there. The fee before the committee on the progress made on each of the weaknesses listed under the information system audit mentioned in paragraph 6.17 of the Auditor General's report on page 267. Right? Can you get a response?
General Carmen, Honorable Chair.
That is all. There.
Honorable Chair, can I just spend a moment to contextualize the problem that we have in terms of the IT that I can come and zoom in on the specific one?
No, let's do this. If you need a follow-up, would need information that contextualizes, you can do so. But just zooming into what are the measures specific that the department...
We just touched on in the context from a question by the Honorable Winston Smith in terms of where we want to be and the current infrastructure that we have that is established and that there are problems. And in this problem area, we are doing a lot of the things manually by hand with people. And that's typically not a very good situation, but the best that we can do at this stage. So in terms of the Information System Steering Committee, the GTO of the Department of Defense is also the chairman of the GTO Council Information System Security Steering Committee. And from that level, looking at departments, and then also within the Department of Defense, trying to initiate more governance and direction in terms of information system security. In terms of the disaster recovery plan, over the past year, we have rationalized and standardized the various silo disaster recovery plans of the HR systems, the logistics systems, and the medical systems into an integrated plan. That is on the table. The implementation is in this year, and in the time frame October, November, we want to do a physical disaster recovery exercise in the Department of Defense. In terms of the access to production data. As I said, we have registers that are in place. The challenge is typically the human intervention. In terms of the segregation of duties between the database administrators on the one hand and the Oracle Unix administrators on the other hand, in the CT environment, we have recruited and appointed members so that we can do the segregation of duties. At this stage, it is also a manual process and also reliant on people until we can fix that in the long-term future. In terms of the security settings, there is an improvement in that we have software that we've implemented in the department where people on a rotation period have to change the security settings when they log into the systems and into some of the other systems, like the email system in the Department of Defense. The physical access to the data center, between ourselves and CETA, who manage the physical access, we have upgraded some of the access equipment, and we've also zoomed in on the procedures where people moving in and out of the facility sign in, sign out, and any equipment that moves, we also take note of. And then in terms of the occupational health and safety, and here I'm referring more to the fire equipment, it is an ongoing task between ourselves, Department of Public Works, and the contractors, looking at the electricity in the building, the fire extinguishers in the building. And it is typically a contractor issue when contracts come to an end, that the knowledge base of the one contractor to the next contractor to the next contractor, as they are contracted over two periods, that has to be managed in this environment.
Thank you, Chair. It was quite good to hear. The next question is, specifically, I need you to please provide us with an indication of which items will be addressed to the satisfaction of auditors for the close of the financial year ending on the 31st of March 2007. And also, please provide timelines by when the unresolved issues will be cleared by.
Mr. Chair, is it possible that I could possibly do this in writing? Back to the portfolio committee to say what are the timelines in terms of this financial year, the next financial year. Because as I say, in the infrastructure environment, it is ongoing challenges, but I have to look at the capital investment and when those plans will take place that will then be able to alleviate the problems as identified by Auditor General over the past number of years.
Right, we'll not have a problem with that as long as the information is directed to SCOPA and not the portfolio committee. Yeah. All right, yes, Comrade.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I'd just like to move on to accruals. Having regard to paragraph 6.10 of the AG report, please inform the committee of the processes which have been put in place to ensure that all invoices received before or on the 31st of March 2007 by units, general support bases, and other divisions are identified and accrued for the year ending the 31st of March. Could you please inform the committee?
Thank you, Chair. At this point in time, it has been mentioned that we are trying to migrate to one system, one logistics system, Office 2. And we tried to get the information and collect it manually. But due to the vastness of the organization and the many distribution points, many distribution and receipt points, we couldn't provide this information manually. Hence, on this thing, this qualification specifically, we received deviation from the National Treasury because we are actually dependent on an integrated system between log and SIM so that at the year end we can have that cutoff and we can go into the system and retrieve the number of orders that are in place and be able to accrue. Or the number of invoices or the number of goods received at that point where invoices have not been received. That will give us accurate accrual. But at this point in time, we've got deviations. There isn't much we can do manually on this thing. We are dependent on National Treasury. The system has been stated all morning. Deadline, target date, around 2010.
That is quite surprised, public scene. I'm sure lots of work could have been done manually. I'm not an expert at it, but I believe that a lot of it could be done manually. Next question is, why cannot a general instruction be issued to all units? I'll skip that one because it's be a little repetition. I move on to intellectual property. With reference to paragraph 6.18 on page 268, AG reported that no approved policies and procedures regarding intellectual property were implemented, nor a complete register of defense intellectual property was in place. Our understanding is that Arms Corps is responsible for this function. However, the department remains accountable. Confirmation is sought that policies and procedures are implemented and that the register is complete and up to the date and available for audit purposes. Is this done?
Mr. Chair, if I may respond, the issue of intellectual property related to capital equipment and development of material has been something which has not been managed for more than 30 years. With the issuance of the PFMA, the department prepared a policy on intellectual property, which has been promulgated, but in assessing it against national policy, there are some fundamental deviations which we are now addressing because we are actually talking across purposes. That is the first point. Second point is, having noted that the department is not in a position to account effectively for intellectual property, as of January last year, I have been instructed to oversee the implementation of this process. What was believed to be a very easy exercise has been found to be rather complex based on the historic neglect in this regard. We have made formal engagements with Arms Corps, who is charged both by the existing law and the new instructions in migrating to a Schedule 2A from a 2A to a 3A company, that this responsibility remains with Arms Corps. And we have done, without a formal budget allocation, an implementation program where we have set up 3 pilot programs to test various levels of intellectual property on running programs, looking at foreground IP where we own the foreground, looking at background IP where we own the background information, and where we have shared ownership, because all of these create specific difficulties. In assessing this, we have also found that the separation agreement between Arms Corps and Danel created a further impasse in that Danel, through that separation agreement, is authorized access free of charge to all IP that is deemed of military nature. Selling military equipment.
With all that, all those complexities, officer, how are we, let's bring it down, how do we, what is your plans in terms of being able to really bring this matter to a close in terms of time frame?
Mr. Chair, that's the exact point that I'm coming to now. In having assessed all these implications, we have now got the backbone of an IT system that will capture intellectual property. We have started to actually populate this schedule utilizing running programs where we have ready access to information and or data that is being created or has been created with formal members appointed to those project teams that can readily
actually report on this later. The target date for having a first order completed data sheet is the end of April. This, however, will not withstand an audit because this will purely be the interpretation of those members in filling in the data sheets. We will use the remainder of this year to then verify information. We also have set up meetings with National Treasury because how we need to account for intellectual property and the expectations of National Treasury in terms of life cycle of IP best practice are elements that still need to be verified and benchmarked before we can really say that we have reported correctly in terms of the cost.
Okay. So,
and we are aiming at the end of April, end of March 2008 to be ready to withstand an audit in this regard.
Okay, thank you. That will be all correct. Yeah, I'm very happy. Okay, I'm happy if you're happy. Right. Yes, committee.
Okay, thank you. Secretary, I won't be long.
You may be long.
No, that's okay.
That's not going to be long, no, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't want to go into the strategic defense packages too much. I think this committee's had an overdose of that. But just under Roman 15, you mentioned in the second paragraph in the right-hand column, just under financial expenses in the Department of Defense, accomplishing underspending of 0.7% for the period under review. This was mainly attributable to surpluses on the strategic defense packages. That was your one comment there. And while I'm busy with that, yes, you also say on page 67, on the right-hand column, 96% of purchase contracts were in place, 98% of materials and services delivered as specified, and the number of irregularities were less than 0.5%. If this is the packages we're talking about, then 0.5% is quite a lot of money, but be that as it may, it's a small percentage. Yeah, 0.5%, which is very small, but I mean, it's, in terms of figures, it is something, but never mind that. The fact is just that one would like to get clarity on what is the problem with the other 4% of contracts that are not in place. And then, if I may continue on the same one, I'm fielding all my questions at once, Jeff, in an interest of time. On page 144,
committee, let's have a response to this one. I don't want a situation where responses and questions get clustered. Let's respond to this one.
Oh. Yeah, very briefly on special defense account, Chief.
Mr. Chair, through you, the 4% variance of orders not being placed are due to the technical challenges of defining the specific requirements. Although the main vessels and or aircraft have been formally defined and ordered, the remaining logistics support and final modifications where in fact technical deviations are found in the acceptance trials of ships or aircraft require specific modifications to be implemented prior to handover to service. Those could not be completed in the financial year, and therefore the request was made to roll that money over into the new financial year where they have now been ordered subsequently.
All right. Yes, committee.
How much would that money be?
The amount, if we're talking of the strategic defense package program, the total amount that was rolled over was about 1.5 billion rand, of which 950 million rand was a provision that was left by National Treasury to cater for rate of exchange risk.
Thank you very much for that. Now, on page 144, this is quite a frightening paragraph if I read this correctly. On the heading, services scaled down, suspended or abolished during financial year 2005 and 6. You are saying here, a number of aircraft and vehicles were phased out and flying hours were scaled down. To a certain extent, this was due to replacement of obsolete equipment. The overriding concern, however, remains underfunding, which forces the South African Air Force to operate its air systems at suboptimal levels. Then, what what really upsets me here is the present indications are that the underfunding of the operating budget will force the combat system group to operate the strategic defense package aircraft at levels below the optimum level of utilization. And then it runs to other things. This is quite a serious statement, and you know, I would like to get some comment on this in terms of your budget planning, because this is something quite huge.
And indeed, the last sentence is that whatever, almost all the main air systems in the FAF force are on a decline as far as their ability to conduct and sustain excellent air operations is concerned. The same paragraph deals with the same problem.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, through you. Although I wear an Air Force uniform, I feel a little bit uncomfortable having to answer for Chief of the Air Force in this regard. I was, however, the Director of Combat Systems, so I am half qualified, but if I first ask the Secretary, maybe respond.
Yeah, Chairperson, okay. I was taking advantage of this, because at that stage you are still around there. The previous, you will come in there. But we generally were facing a challenge, Chairperson, in terms of our phasing in of the strategic defense packages, whether it's the new submarines, vessels, and in the Air Force itself is a challenge. And we've been open on this issue. And in our update, force design, force structure, we actually focus very seriously on this issue. And in the new force design that we are coming up with, we are really dealing with this issue very successfully. And of course, we are going to need a particular injection in order to be fully operationalized in strategic.
What are the actual challenges?
Yeah, perhaps the details of that also, sir, can you come in?
Mr. Chair, for you, I think the most important channel that one has is that the Department of Defense has to provide a balanced capability to meet immediate operational requirements. Based on that, the current need for combat aircraft and combat aircraft support to joint operations is very low, because there is no real conventional threat. For that reason, the Air Force is focusing mainly on transport capabilities, both helicopter and fixed wing, as well as the training of new pilots to feed into the squadrons to prepare for future operations. Based on that, the amount of money that is allocated to combat systems has been willfully reduced to ensure that other systems can in fact provide the output that is expected to meet the order tasks and commitments. Based on that, there is a cutback in the combat system, and as we now are phasing, well, we have phased out the Impala, and as the Hawk comes in, operating fortunately at roughly the same cost as the Impala, we are continuing to fly the Hawk system at about 2,000 hours per year, and the Cheetah system operating at about 1,000 hours a year with a Gripen to come in pretty much at the same rate. So until such time as the physical risk to national security escalates, where it requires a larger investment into combat systems, this is a willful decision to reduce the investment in that environment. What is also important, however, is that due to years of, I think, very difficult budget allocations, the Air Force has been able to meet its outputs through eating into spare reserves and also providing the service, utilizing force preparation hours to actually supply services to the joint ops environment. However, you can only do that for so long. And we have very clearly stated now that the Air Force is implementing a very stringent integrity recovery process. The Oryx helicopter system is up for upgrades as we speak, using capital money that we have ring-fenced for that purpose. And we are addressing the inherent integrity of air systems in a very systematic way. But it will limit the output in the short term, because you have to use money that you would have used for fuel to actually address integrity issues.
Chair, may I continue? Chair, I've got two more questions just in the interest of time. On page 147, and these all relate to these weapons, it says the target for this is for the surface combat capability. The target was not achieved because of delays in the maintenance cycle. The ship underutilized the force employment for hours for the same reason. Then there's another page. It says here about the Amatola. While the frigate not yet equipped to form an integral part of the fleet and several trials still outstanding, most of the requirements were satisfied with the remaining strike zone. It says, however, the ship still has to complete operational qualification before it can be completely integrated. And then, on page 209, it says here, regarding the acquisition of the Hawk fighters, full avionics software certification was not achieved, this resulting in delay in delivery of all aircraft. And the comment is a phased release of the aircraft was negotiated. Then also, just below that, SAS Amatola was handed over and commissioned in South African Navy on 16 February 2006. Comment, achievement of key contractual milestones had to be delayed by about 12 months on account of delays caused by defective cabling, non-performance by the Part C contractor, and the late delivery of customer-furnished equipment. basically, the question I want to ask is, in terms of the delays, and in terms of the contracts, as far as I can remember, there were penalty clauses. Now, have the penalty clauses kicked in, and have we received any benefit from such penalty clauses?
Mr. Chair, to you again, we're talking, I think, of a collective. I'll handle the two slightly differently, because in the case of the Corvette program, a large amount of the deviations were as a result of local contractors that were drawn in, and we specifically structured the contract in such a way to mitigate the risk that, in the case of the Part C contracts where Danel Land Systems and Danel Aerospace Systems are the primary subcontractors in that field, had we included their participation in the program under the full main contractual relationship, the risk that was associated with that was about 400 million rand that they would have charged us to manage this risk. In the execution of the contractual negotiation, it was decided to exclude those and handle them as client-furnished equipment. And to date, the liquidated damages that have been claimed as a result of delays has only amounted to 80 million rand. So I think there's a substantial saving to the national fiscus having followed this route. We have also ensured, though, that while there were delays, that we have at least received initial deliveries of equipment that authorized us to complete the sea trials of the Corvette programs, and we have now fully qualified the missile programs and all the gun programs and the accuracy with which they can fire against air targets, and therefore have achieved full compliance in terms of the functionality. What now remains to be delivered are the stocks of missiles and ammunition that they have to go into store, as well as spare barrels and one or two cannons that have to come in. But in that way, I think having followed that contractual route willfully, I believe it has been to the benefit of the state. In the case of the Hawk program, again, it was the local contractor, ATE, who we knew was probably the highest risk on the program, was not managed effectively by BAE Systems, and we there, in this case, it was a clear obligation on BAE Systems to meet fully the functional requirements. Because of this deviation and the finite limit of life on the Impala system, we entered into negotiations with BA Systems where, one, we applied the formal penalties of non-compliance at the point of delivery. We then renegotiated a phased release of the Hawk into operational service because the aircraft was safe to fly, but it did not have all the functionality to do advanced air combat training. But in the initial conversion of air crews, you don't need those functionalities, so we accepted that the aircraft was safe to fly, number one, and that it had at least 75% of the specified functionality already certified. In that way, we accepted the a limited number of aircraft into service to start training and allowed the BAE Systems a further 12 months to meet full compliance in terms of the functional requirements of advanced combat training mission functionality, which is now in phase two. The second batch of aircraft has been released, new engines have been installed, and the final release of software is scheduled for the end of this calendar year.
In that way, again, should they fail to meet their obligations, further penalties will kick in, and those payments are made into the state coffers directly. They are not accessible to us at all.
All right. Thank you.
Chair, my last question. Chair, and I also want to refer to last year's report where we had discussions about it. You know, ever since I can remember from, I think, in the early 80s, which is 25 years ago, the Roy Park chopper issue was raised, and we saw pictures of it and so on. Now, that's a quarter of a century ago. Now, last year's report that we've got here says that you ordered 12, of which 11 is airborne. I don't know if it's still the same case, but be that as it may, total cost so far for, that's the figures that we supplied last year, was between 6 and 7 billion rand for the development of all the WFOC that has been built up to date. Now that's excluding interest rates, and in the 80s we had interest rates going up to 27%. So if you divide that by 12, that means it's about 500 million rand per chopper. And being a South African product and being a proud South African, I would like to be convinced, and I've seen this chopper in action, in display, this is quite something magnificent, but in terms of the finances, it's an astronomical amount of money. Now I see here, you again raising the issue on page 207, acquisition of 12 Rafale combat support choppers. Is that the same as last year's is being carried over? And you says here, commission of phase configurations. 5 aircraft are to be delivered to the Air Force in Block 1F. So I'd like to get some information on this, just about the cost of this, because Treasury gave 200 million this year, and last year you complained saying Treasury only gave you 200 million. This year you got another 200 million. So if you add that also to the cost of the WFOC. We asked for a cost-benefit analysis in our resolution for SCOPA last year to be supplied with a cost-benefit analysis. Now, we haven't received it. It's a year later. We received some other information, but not a cost-benefit analysis. Could you please give us some comment on that and when we can receive this cost-benefit analysis?
Mr. Chair, again to you, I believe that the cost-benefit analysis was submitted. I'm surprised that it has not reached your table, but we can address that formally. In terms of the cost of the Rafale program, one has to probably consider the fact that the expenditure in the 80s was a developmental path that looked at a potential of going that route. The actual Rafale development in its current form, and the acquisition of 12 aircraft was only authorized in 1993, with the production order placed in 1996. If one takes, however, the total amount that was spent on this is typical what one would have spent in the development of a helicopter of this category, potentially a fraction in terms of what the Americans would have expended on a longbow. So from a cost-benefit point of view, having done it in South Africa with approximately 10 to 15 engineers working full-time on that program, whereas on the longbow program, the average engineering allocation was 1,000 engineers working full-time over a 10-year period to get that aircraft into service. I believe we have achieved a substantial success in getting the aircraft airborne and now approaching formal certification of it. But the cost-benefit, I have to agree with you, we have to look at that. What is very important, however, is that it seems very expensive because we have only sold 12 aircraft. When we entered the formal Rafale program, the limitation was placed very clearly that if the NAL failed to meet an export order within 2 years of contract closure, that the contract was to be terminated. However, for national pride and importance of the helicopter program at the time for the aviation industry, the then Minister of Defense and probably a meeting of cabinet agreed to continue with the program despite no export order having been secured. And that is, I think, the reality that stands today. In last year, the NEL was approached, first of all, to present an unofficial quote for the Turkish government for helicopters in the Roykov class. They were supposed to have awarded the final order already. However, we know that the NEL is one of two shortlisted helicopter suppliers, being the preferred bidder at this point in time. And the final decision on whether the NEL will actually be selected as the supplier of this capability is now scheduled for the end of this month. Should that occur, then obviously the sums will change dramatically, because figures of between 100 and 200 aircraft are at stake here. With all the fixed development costs now having been invested and expended, the actual cost of an aircraft now reduces significantly, and therefore the cost of ownership to us will also change over the life cycle. But yes, so South Africa has invested that kind of money in the creation of a capability which is now very close to potential international market itself. If that answers your question.
Okay. Yes, Comrade Koranov?
Just one comment and one question. I think this committee, and I think Parliament in general, the committee is working with the defense, to welcome the intention to make sure that the necessary personnel and equipment will be in place as the strategic defense packages come into place. We're all proud of that, and we're proud of the department, and we will support you to make sure that the corvettes being phased in are manned by good or personnel, including the aircraft stores we come and also the other equipment for the Navy. And I think it's good to see that you're working on plans to make sure those strategic defense equipment will be manned and operational. Just one last question on the SEA, and that is the classification. There's no accounting policy framework at the moment. As you know, Secretary, the DOD work on a cash basis and the SDA work on an accrual basis. And can you just inform the committee, this is a mismatch, in a sense. Where do you see the classification of the SDA, whether it's a Schedule 4 entity within the program of the DOD, a separate account? Can you just inform us what the situation is and where do you stand?
Yes, Chairperson, and it's very good that National Treasury is here, because we really see soon this matter with National Treasury in terms of the accounting policy of this specialized defense account. The Auditor General people were really on me until last week when we were dealing with this. But CFO, can you say exactly where we are now? This latest engagement, she didn't give me feedback on this with National Treasury. What is the joint issue?
Thank you, sir. Chairperson, through you, we have written to National Treasury. We were trying to get a meeting between ourselves, National Treasury, and the Auditor General. The meeting has not happened. However, the letter is with National Treasury in the Office of the Accountant General, and as of last week, they said to be relaxed, the letter is coming. We have not received it yet, but they said we will receive it before year end.
Well, we have the privilege to have
before year end.
Can
we mean for the end of March?
I'm asking the response from the National Treasury. We have the benefit of National Treasury being here, and it seems they need to reply to a fair request from DOD.
Yeah, can we from National Treasury?
Thanks, Chairperson. We have indeed received a letter from the Department of Defense around the accounting treatment of the Special Defense Account. You will appreciate that the Special Defense Account is a unique animal to deal with, and the accounting will also be unique. It's not a public entity, it's not a trading account, it's not a trading entity, it's not a trust. And we also, as the accountant of the National Treasury, are trying to come up with the best possible way of accounting for the Special Defense Account, given also its nature of operations. So some of its operations are not public records, and some are. Then it's a bit of a sensitive issue in terms of which direction do we go to. We have always have a bias towards
taking these entities or the structures that exist in government towards the accrual side of accounting, since they've stated intention in the whole of government to move to accrual. Whenever we get an opportunity, we try and move entities towards that. But the special defense account, we're deliberating, we'll meet with the AG so that we can get an agreement between ourselves and the AG that the proposed accounting treatment is the correct one. And also, we engage with the department on that. We have received the letter from the department.
Yeah, so that part we're all aware. What you're not aware of is your response to that letter. Is it coming?
Yes, indeed. But we have to engage with the AG before we can give the development an answer. It's certainly not going to be an easy way. We'll possibly have a compromise between the two extremes, the cash basis and the actual basis of accounting.
Can we just appeal for a speedy reply, because if it's not resolved, it's going to be qualified.
When are you meeting with the AG? I mean, you only have about 2 weeks before the end of the year, and you promised that they will get a response before the end of the year.
Can I offer a direct response? Yesterday I was called in by my boss to come to Cape Town. I was supposed to meet with the head of the Technical Division of the AG this afternoon. Unfortunately, that meeting has to be shelved because I had to come to this committee. It has to be shelved for next week. Then I'll meet with the head of the Technical Division of the AG sometime next week. There are a couple of other issues that we need to deal with before year end.
All right. I hope you deal with them in that meeting. You don't organize another meeting to deal with those issues, and by year end, you'll not come back to the Department of Defense. Thank you very much, comrades, honorable members. I think we have almost come to the end of our business, but Comrade Chesterton of the Portfolio Committee, I think it would be amiss if I don't give you a minute to have your say before we call it quits.
Honorable Chesterton, I'm on the other bench today. The Portfolio Committee has taken a very different approach since last year. Did you know that? We have established subcommittees for the 9 programs to make sure that members look directly into all the aspects that have been raised, because they've been a going concern. But we also appreciated the fact that the department has improved and the qualification has been caused by a few items. And some of the factors that have been raised for now, like if the initial activity does not respond in time, is going to give the department a qualification, which will make us meet again in a meeting of this nature. Of course, we will address many other issues, including meeting public works or issues of facilities, and many other issues that we've taken into account. Because there's nothing new that we've heard here today. We are consistent with the issues that have been raised, and we're dealing with them on a daily basis. Hence the establishment of subcommittees to try and assist. Portfolio Committee has noted all the issues, we will sit down and meet and continue where we have left. But I need to be frank and honest, we are going to get another qualification, because we can't expect to resolve those issues in one financial year, that is so short. Until the issues of timelines are also dealt with by government, because it's one factor that contributes to the problems that we have. Given this task of having to have a cooperation between the other arm of government and parliament, quite a very complex engagement, and the type of engagement that SCOPA needs to do on a regular basis. So it's not a question of polemics, it's the reality on the ground that we're facing. So I think you are on course, Chairperson. And it's not very nice to sit here and listening to how people observe your oversight and zoom into issues. As I'm saying, there are ongoing issues that you're dealing with. And because I'm sitting on the other side, and given the environment, between the like, by a very transparent government, city and talk, it has never happened before in this kind of meeting with the type of information that we need to put on the table. And I think you are most consistent. The chairpersons of subcommittees are here, all of them. They are here to take note of the other issues that we might have overlooked on the other side, and will engage, because we've got a regular engagement with the department. We even adopted a program to have quarterly reports presented to our committee, which was not happening before in Parliament, with a specific intention to present the bottleneck measure. So, if you allow me to also allow our members to make comments, okay. This is the type of work we'll be doing. We really look at issues very closely now, given the fact that we are cooperating with COPA. We said that at some point we'll have a joint meeting with COPA to talk about other issues that we need to process. Thank you very much. If you can allow me to say one or two words.
I believe you spoke on their behalf, and I see Comrade Tegere acknowledges. Is he a chair of the subcommittee? Control and command. Okay. Okay, no. Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson, on the Portfolio Committee, and we thank your member presence, because indeed, the scope of one of our strategic objectives is that the work that we do should find synergy with the work of the Portfolio Committee, so that we don't operate in silos. I must thank the AG's office, as always, for your presence and your interventions, as always, when the clarities are sought. You know, sometimes you have a lazy day in the office when there are no controversies, but some days you have to come in from time to time to try and assist and put things in their proper perspective. So it is with the National Treasurer. We want to thank you, Mr. Secretary, and your officers. I believe that you are very convinced with the issues that the committee is not happy about, and the issues around which we need clarity, and the issues around which we would love to see movement. And we also believe that the commitments that you have made in relation to those matters will manifest themselves in the annual report. Having said that, I think four issues from my side. One, it is that it does appear from this report that there are very serious problems with documentation or keeping documentation in the department. I think it is something that needs to be addressed. Problems with filing. I think the matter that you need to deal with. And thirdly, your command at unit level. Some of the things that are here in this report, they are quite scary. Illegal subleasing of property, certain properties, facilities could not be inspected because they could not be located physically. And a whole range of things. I mean, the deterioration of buildings, and I think that is the one area that does need quite a strong hand. And what I'm not sure of is whether with this transformation process you have put people at that level who are not skilled, or you have put new people. I'm trying to play the devil's advocate from a very
neutral in such a perspective. You've put new people who just don't know how to do their work. Or you have long established people who are deliberately not doing their work. It's one of the two. I don't know which one it is, but I'm saying you have a serious problem at that level. But if it's not a question of skills, you then have people who just don't do their work as they are supposed to, knowingly so. So I think from my observation, those are levels that need to be corrected. And lastly, it's a question of management and command. Because once you have all the policies in place, the challenge that follows is one of compliance. And for a layman like myself, I'll say layman because I didn't integrate. Your expectation is that in the army people operate on the base of the base of command, levels of discipline. But you get a sense that the level of compliance with what will be policies and procedures, it's either you have resistance to compliance or management is not effectively and efficiently managing so that there is compliance with the policies and procedures that are in place. I think that we would want that these matters, if they are correct observations, they need to be acted upon. And if they are, I believe that they will go a long way in changing the situation in the department. As Comrade Pierre indicated at the beginning, it is a strategic department for the country, and I dare say for the continent, in terms of the expanding role that the department plays. I mean, your travel and subsistence has risen primarily because of the amount of work that is done outside the country. The question of documentation and whatever, that's another thing, but in terms of the volume, it arises from that aspect. So we're saying it is an important department, just like all other departments in government anyway. We would like to see it up and running in terms of the laws and regulations that are in place. We want to thank you very much. And we hope that going forward, it will improve and have been committed. Thank you very much.
We wish to thank you, Chairperson, on behalf of the department, and we appreciate some of the observations that this members have indicated. There's vast improvement in our situation. We are in command. We face challenges, but we're in control and we are on track. And we can promise you that on those specific areas that were noted, we will live up to the challenges we have always done. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The hearing is over.